Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Friday, January 26, 2018. The time is 9:04 a.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning is Majority Leader Michicki, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Stevens, Senator Olson, and we should be joined shortly by Vice Chairman Bishop, who is on other state business, and excused from today's meeting is Co-Chairman Hoffman. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin today's agenda? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to invite Adam Bryan from the Office of Management and Budget to the table. On today's agenda is the deferred maintenance and maintenance update from the Department of Transportation. Mr. Bryan, welcome to Senate Finance.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Adam Bryan, Capital Budget Coordinator from the Office of Management and Budget. Also on the line, we should have Mark Davis, who's Director of Facility Services with the Department of Transportation. He'll talk about our centralization of facilities maintenance later in our presentation.
If we could pause for a moment. Mr. Davis, are you online? Mr. Davis.
Yes, ma'am. This is Mark Davis here.
Just wanted to acknowledge your presence online and make sure that you could hear us.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is it Chris Hodgen?
Yes, ma'am. Chris Hodgen.
Hodgen, thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to Senate Finance. Mr. Bryan, please proceed. And for those that are following online, we have a presentation up before us that is dated January 26, 2018. It says State of Alaska Deferred Maintenance Update, Senate Finance Committee. You can access those documents via BASIS and then go to the Senate Finance Committee.
So, Madam Chair, what we'd like to talk to you today about is updating you on our deferred maintenance backlog since we talked last April, talk about the distribution of our FY 2018 deferred maintenance appropriation, talk about our centralization of facilities maintenance and the efforts we're doing to come up with metrics on deferred maintenance and our facilities, and talk about our plan for addressing our deferred maintenance backlog going into the near term. Slide two, we'll start with a broad definition of what is deferred maintenance. I think the simplest explanation is that it's maintenance that's postponed due to the lack of resources. These are mostly items that departments are unable to address with our normal day-to-day operations budget. And that money is put towards the preventative maintenance schedules, and those help manage the growth and severity of deferred maintenance. Each department independently manages, in the past, their maintenance. The legislature provides funding of these preventative maintenance programs for facilities maintenance through the operating budget. You may see those in each agency's appropriations as a facilities maintenance allocation. We're going to talk a little bit briefly about the size and shape of our assets and mainly our facilities. That's the most common kind of across-the-board view we can have across departments, including the university on what assets we have. DOT also has some other assets in terms of their marine highways, airports, highways, bridges, those types of things. So we have approximately 2,200 facilities statewide. That includes the university, the court system. It's approximately 19 million square feet of space and a combined replacement value of $8.6 billion. The graph here on slide three depicts by count the number of facilities by department. And what we see here is it's not indicative exactly of a count to a deferred maintenance backlog. There's not a good correlation there. But it does give, in combined with the next slide, slide four, a count and space that has to be maintained. So you'll see DOT on slide three was the highest with the number of facilities, but the university in terms of space is the greatest in the state. And there's reasons for that. For example, the university manages classrooms, lab spaces, dormitories. That's not common to every state agency. The Department of Administration manages our general office space. DOC, our Department of Corrections, and Health and Social Services have 24-hour facilities, our correctional facilities, our juvenile justice facilities. The Department of Military and Veterans Affairs has state armories, as well as base facilities across the state. And our Department of Natural Resources oversees our park service cabins, shelters, and fire suppression shops.
We have a question. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure I understand the under DOT. Does that include the Marine Highway System, or is that found elsewhere, the maintenance?
The facilities part, so our terminals are included there, but not the actual ferry themselves. I believe we have 10 ferries now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that's not included in here?
It does not include the ferries. It includes the structures or terminals for the Marine Highway System.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Slide 5, we'll look at our updated deferred maintenance totals. So for our current year, FY18, calculated a total deferred maintenance of $1.87 billion. So that includes our executive agencies, courts, and school district major maintenance. Our executive agencies and courts totals $1.66 billion. The school district major maintenance prioritized listing calculates $205 million. Of that, $143 million is calculated as the state share through that major maintenance program. So there's a difference between these figures. The agency and courts deferred maintenance is a comprehensive total that we have statewide, whereas the school district major maintenance are only the top priorities from each district that's compiled into a listing. So there are projects outside of what you'll see through the major maintenance program that are on school districts' lists of deferred maintenance.
Questions? Senator Von Imhoff.
So thank you. So through the chair, so you mentioned school districts. I mean, one of the things that, you know, being on the Anchor School Board, the headquarters is leased. The school district doesn't own it. And so they do a lease, and so they don't have to pay for maintenance. One of the things also that I remember being on the school board was that we also didn't, to the degree necessary, set money aside each year for deferred maintenance within the operating budget, which is a normal standard protocol when you have a real estate business. You have a deferred maintenance account coming in from your income. In the past, it's been relatively standard just to bond for that deferred maintenance and hope for a state match. And, of course, that's not what we're in right now. So the two questions that I have right now is have you worked with, and I'll just leave it at school districts now, for them to set money aside for deferred maintenance to the degree that they can. And then number two, what about selling some of these assets and leasing them back? Because we've had a paradigm shift now in the last 4 or 5 years that going to the capital budget's not really as much of an option. So those are just my two thoughts.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, your first question on working with school districts to set aside money for their deferred maintenance schedules. I'll have to reach out to education and get back to you to see what efforts they're doing on that side. In terms of selling assets and leasing back, are you looking solely at the school districts and the relationship with the state, or are you looking statewide?
Eventually, when you get through your project and we go through this list here, I'm sure that the question will eventually extend statewide. And I think, I mean, you mentioned earlier DOT on slides 3 and 4. When you talk about DOT, DOT has assets of all sorts of assets, blades, loaders, and buildings. Some of these, depreciate faster than others, and some of them just get, is there a thought about maybe selling some assets, particularly in DOT, and reprioritizing and reallocating those funds to the more prioritized buildings? And DOT being the largest, I mean, I'm not suggesting that for the university at this point, but DOT being the largest and second largest here in those two graphs that you showed us.
Through the chair, DOT has a state equipment fleet schedule, so those kind of non-structure assets, they do have replacement schedules for, and they'll show up in our capital budget. And those support their day-to-day activities for maintenance. So I'm not sure, unless you're looking at a different entity that would perform those functions, that we'd sell those assets to lease back. I'm not sure how that concept works without not having a DOT, or in terms of the university, who's high on a number on our count list and on our backlog list, how you would not have that asset and still have a university.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Okay, last question. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. When a company has a choice to either own or lease, they evaluate the circumstances by which the cash flow and their short and medium-term outlook may be on the bottom line. When you have a choice, and the state has a choice and has made the choice in the past to own most of these assets, all up and down the schedule that you refer to, sometimes when you have a paradigm shift in your financial situation, you may have to look at things a little bit differently. And owning everything may not be the best decision, and leasing things could be a better decision because you don't have to pay the deferred maintenance. Granted, it may be baked into the lease, but that could be a better cash flow decision over the long term. I would just hope that that analysis is being done. Thank you.
Mr. Bryan, possibly we could get the OMB director to come before us with a preventive list on the ongoing maintenance in the operating budget, and then someone from the Department of Administration could address Senator Von Imhoff's question regarding an overall look at that financing structure that she's referencing, if that's not in DOT's wheelhouse. I did want to make sure that I noted that Senator Bishop has been here for a little while. Thank you. We did acknowledge you were on other state business earlier this morning. Senator Machicki, followed by Senator Stevens.
So sometimes we ask questions at this table, and it sounds like we're not being as supportive as we can be, so I want to be careful on how I ask this. But the question that Senator Von Imhoff asked, I asked 5 years ago, and then 4 years ago, and then 3 years ago, and 2 years ago. And I want to ask you how I can get the Department of Transportation to manage a statewide assessment of our 2,200 facilities and explain which can be placed on the market so that they're no longer not only on a deferred maintenance list, but we have a reset about the collection of real estate that we've gathered through the years, and an evaluation about whether we need them or not, because putting those on the market and into the private sector for the facilities we no longer need, and I know we have some, but I really don't have, I'm blind about what that percentage may be, and what if those items, if those assets were sold into the private sector, how those proceeds could be used to help offset the deferred maintenance on the buildings that we do decide to retain because they are actually needed. And I was a mayor of a small city for a while. We went through that, and folks were really resistant about selling some of those assets, but we did, and I will tell you that we haven't missed them. We get into sort of group think on the fact that we need some of, you know, these storage buildings or assets, and as we replace them and upgrade to a new Department of Transportation facility, we just happen to keep the old one. And it's typically underutilized. I think now is the time for that reset. So how can I formally actually get the department to go through that exercise? I know you guys are busy. I know people like to do things the way they have done things. But I have to believe that there's 5% or 3% of the buildings that we own that we no longer need that perhaps could help fund some of the deferred maintenance. So what would be the right path for me to take? Because the respectful request has not resulted in a report that we can flip through and understand that situation.
Madam Chair, through the Chair, Senator Michicki, we are working on some metrics based on a facility condition index to move statewide. That would be one avenue of looking at the condition of a facility and whether or not that should be something we continue to maintain or not, whether to put that asset on the market, as you spoke of, or to demolish that facility or structure, maintenance shop, and no longer have that as a standing structure. And so that's a piece of data that we can look at to see kind of statewide and compare either internal to an agency or statewide, kind of how they stack up against each other. So what asset is not worth putting money into at all? What asset is core to a program that we should invest in? And then making those decisions either on a percentage basis you talked about or case-by-case basis. There are other facilities where it's a challenge to no longer have those things. So maintenance shops are probably a pretty easy concept to think about there across all of our main highways across the state. But there are some departments where they manage internally to themselves. So on a campus for the university would be difficult to sell. State parks where we have cabins that people rent or boat launches is a challenge. Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is actually going through a process right now and looking at their statewide armories that they're divesting from. And so they've come up with a list of about 60 that they're looking at transitioning to the local community if there's an option there, or demolishing an army, depending on what the type of that facility is and the condition of it once they clean it up. So there are some examples statewide. I know that I believe Commissioner Lucan is set to come before you next week in your for an overview, and I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you at the table on that as well, and I can get in contact with him and see kind of on the facilities maintenance side how things are shaping up in a timeline to where we would have some statewide information for you rather than kind of siloed agency by agency exercises.
Thank you, Mr. Bryan. On this topic, Senator Stevens, as your this topic, I have two others that want to comment on this. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That wasn't what I intended to speak on, but I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to that. I think what Senator von Imhoff and Senator Michicki brought up is extremely important. We worked hard for over many years, Representative Mosterman and myself, to build a new fish and game building in Kodiak. We did that, and it's a great facility, and it should be big enough for the entire fish and game. But we still kept the old building, and I'm not sure what it's being used for. And maybe, as you suggest, you know, city's looking for a city hall. Maybe that building should be looked at as one that we can get out of. But so, and I'd reserve the time to speak later on other issues like the university. Thank you,
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. on point, Adam. Good morning. Good to see you. I just want you guys to know I hired this guy down at Labor. He's going to be a big asset to the state going forward, but I like to ring his bell every time I get a chance. But on point, back to the topic here at hand, Senator Machicki brings up a good point, as well as Senator Stevens. And, you know, I know you're going to get into your project index back here on slide 18. There are, and this needs to be brought out as we compile these lists for our information, but some of these state assets, let's just take a DOT maintenance facility as an example, build a new facility. No fault of their own, you know, we used to do things in this country that were accepted practices, and then as time evolves, we get things like the Clean Water Act and we get the Environmental Protection Agency, and then we get NIOSH, and then, oh, my God, something is now a hazardous material or a hazardous chemical or a new classification of water standards. So I can speak specifically of one case in point where you build a new state facility, but I don't think you could get rid of the other state facility because of now the contamination with that associated property. So there is that as well.
Senator Von Imhoff.
So thank you, through the chair. I think each property has a unique story behind it, and in my world we call it, it's got hair on it. But we are being asked, this body and the legislative body is being asked to consider a tax for deferred maintenance. And I think what Senator Machicki has been asking for the last 4 or 5 years is within absolute acceptable parameters and becomes even more of a pressing issue with this tax looming, that if we are going to be asked to consider a tax for deferred maintenance, I think on one hand, then on the other hand, we should have an evaluation of all the state properties and all the state assets for that matter, and determining what can and should be sold, whether they have hazardous material or not, and at least say, and we've made an effort, the administration can say we've made an effort on our part to eliminate the burden a little bit so taxpayers' money are not being paid to spruce up state-owned buildings that frankly would be better off sold. So let's pair up those analysis of a tax and potentially an asset evaluation list. Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Just on Senator, well, on everyone's point, I'll tell you a little story, and that was the old DOT site in downtown Soldotna, which the city took on, and it was contaminated, and we worked together as a team on a little bit of a cleanup. It's now Soldotna Creek Park, which for those of you who have been in downtown Soldotna, it is where we do everything. And the reason I bring that up is I also, it's the reason I brought the bill forward on the Environmental Covenants Act, which is hung up in the House, but we know is going to be on the floor any day now. It has one more place to go. I know we're not supposed to talk about other legislation, but that's specifically designed to help the state on these issues. When we find a site that has some issues, it puts an order on how that liability moves. But when you talk about demolition, when you find a site, perhaps as we go through this exercise, boy, don't sell ordinary Alaskan short, because it's a way to transfer some of that liability for folks from an old maintenance shop into Bob's heavy equipment and diesel service that will manage that, and something that looks like we have no further use for can turn into a private sector opportunity and take it off of our books. So I think it's a really important exercise. There's legislation that will help with that. I really do think it could dramatically reduce some of our exposure, and we've probably beaten this dead horse long enough. But I look forward to that report. I don't know what your timeline looks like, but I think you'll find a lot of support at this table for helping to process and cutting back We're supportive on maintaining the facilities that we must keep and must have for the state to do its business. But I don't believe that exercise has been completed. And when it is, I think it'll highlight some opportunities that I think are really important on deferred maintenance in the future.
Thank you, Senator Michicki. I'd just like to remind the committee that we have an early start today on the floor session, and so we need to be done in this room by 9:50. With that said, to add to the discussion on deferred maintenance, I look forward to hearing from ONB or the appropriate representative from the Department of Administration on the space utilization standards and the initiative that was going forward to utilize space, and this sort of overlays the conversation about the need to take a long look at the assets that we own. There was a process that was going on during the previous administration. I believe it's been continued in this administration to look at the utilization of the buildings that we own and relocating our office space or office workers into state-owned space, like in the SOB on the 8th floor, repurposing that. And then when leases expire that we are paying for in the private sector to move those into our own facilities. So I think it's a combination of absolutely looking and divesting ourselves from buildings that we don't need. It's also about better utilization inside of the spaces that we do own to do what's best for the people of Alaska. Mr. Bryan, specifically, can you request the OMB director to provide me, compile a list of preventative maintenance that's in the operating budget in each of those departments for ongoing maintenance? Thank you. And yes. Then, please, Mr. Bryan.
Oh, I was verbally communicating. Yes, we can do that for you.
Thank you. And then could you explain how each department determines and estimates their deferred maintenance? Do you have standards that they use to apply? Just reflecting on a previous conversation with the OMB director, they had used deferred maintenance to upgrade carpet, buy furniture, and do other things, which, depending on the critical need, that may have been a necessity that we needed to expend, or it could have been a want versus a need.
Yes, Madam Chair, I can provide information on your first statement about space utilization based on time. We have some good information there, and there's some budget reductions that we've proposed for FY19 solely based on our better use of our space, moving out of leases and back into our own state assets. Your question about standards that agencies use in putting a value on their deferred maintenance? It's independent by agency currently, and as we transition to a statewide view outside of the university, those will be standardized. And generally, agencies or their facilities maintenance professionals use their history when they've had to do similar work in the past. What were those kind of? Where did those costs come in at? So they're making estimates. In prior years where we had some regular annual funding for deferred maintenance, there was more resources to get a design bid prior to coming to the state for a construction or rehabilitation type activity. So those were very honed in proposals. So it's possible that based on prior design bids that those are still being used today that are an estimate but aren't exact until they get out and kind of get through their procurement process.
Mr. Bryan, I'll have some additional follow-ups on why we're not at least deploying some kind of basic standards within all departments to understand deferred maintenance and how the standards are being used. That means we need to ask each individual department and consider very carefully what each department wants and then spread it across what we're hearing from other departments, which is more an administrative function than it is an appropriation double check. So, but let's move on. We are on slide 3, and we do want to provide you some time to get to things that are important. So we're moving to slide 5.
Right. Madam Chair, I'd flip back to slide three based on a committee member's question, but we were on kind of wrapping up slide five prior to that. So our deferred maintenance backlog.
Senator Bishop, excuse me. Senator Bishop, did you have a comment?
He answered the rest of your question where you were going, so I'm fine.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bryan, please.
Madam Chair, our deferred maintenance backlog peaked in 2012 at $2.3 billion and was significantly reduced based on a five-year funding plan provided by the legislature that averaged approximately $100 million of UGF per year over that five-year span. The majority of that money has been deployed, and this year's information on deferred maintenance has us trending back up. Slide six is a pie chart of where our deferred maintenance backlogs are. The majority is in the University of Alaska and the Department of Transportation. In terms of our state agencies, I've included the school district major maintenance for comparison. Here's roughly 13% of that total. Slide seven is a bar chart to see on a different scale what that deferred maintenance backlog looks like. The university is at a little over $1 billion, and then it drops down to transportation and school district major maintenance, those big three that we looked at on the pie chart previously.
Mr. Bryan, on the deferred maintenance for the university, is there power generation included in that, or is that just facilities that are on campuses?
The new power plant, Madam Chair?
Up in the Fairbanks area.
Right. Mm-hmm. The new power plant would be included if it was an older asset that had some deferred maintenance on it, but it's brand new. There shouldn't be any deferred maintenance built up on that.
I was wondering about the system itself versus the plant. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I understand, I think, the school district major maintenance, and that they all have their own listing of the things they think need to be done. I believe the department takes that listing and creates a prioritized list out of that. Does a similar thing happen with the university? I assume all of the projects in the university are university-generated. Do we do a priority listing of university projects as well?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, yes, the university does have a comprehensive listing of their deferred maintenance, and then as prioritized for FY19, up to $50 million of projects that are summarized by campus and then detailed below each of those. And I can provide those documents for the committee and for yourself.
Madam Chair, Senator, it surprises me that the school district, number seven, slide seven, the school district is at 205, and the university is so much higher, like three times higher. I just wonder if we're comparing apples to apples there. It seems to me like the school district would be much, much higher if we use their entire list, and I don't understand why we're not prioritizing our own list of the university projects.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Stevens, what we receive from the school districts currently are only their highest priorities. I believe in the bigger school districts, that's up to five projects. In smaller school districts, they can submit three to the Department of Education, and they prioritize that when they come up with that value that you see on the chart. The university subset of that $1 billion is $50 million that they're requesting for FY19. And so those, it's part of that $1 billion. But this is trying to show outside of the school districts the comprehensive backlog that we have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stephen. I think this highlights the difference in criteria that's used for each one of the columns that we're looking at. And you're absolutely right that school district maintenance would be much higher if we included all of them. And each department actually that's listed on here has a different set of criteria for providing us a deferred maintenance list. So we'll try to go through the process and see if we can understand if there's any baseline standards that the administration could apply across the entire spectrum.
Moving on to slide 8, just a brief history, and I'll be very brief here. Deferred maintenance is, in the past, very sporadic and inconsistent. The best linkage there is for funding deferred maintenance is when there have been high revenues for the state of Alaska, much like the capital budget. And so we'll see on the next slide, slide 9, two bars here. Blue bar, or the leading bars, are statewide deferred maintenance appropriations provided by the legislature in the past from 1998 to 2018, and then in the red bars are school district major maintenance that has gone into that fund and then distributed to communities based on education's criteria. So you'll see kind of the spikes there in that 5-year plan, FY11 through FY14-15, and then the drop off 16-17 and 18 with the $20 million plus some other money that went outside of that distribution to the university and Department of Administration.
Mr. Brain, of the when we're talking about the school district's assets that are, do those include those that are owned by local municipalities, or is that just the REAAs that you're referring to on school district maintenance?
It includes both, I believe.
So we're talking about assets that are, some are owned by us and some that we contribute to the deferred maintenance based on Alaska state statute. And part of the reduction then would be the suspension of the capital grants or the capital reimbursement money on bonds. Please continue.
I've moved on to slide 10, just a recap of those prior slides. The pattern of funding coincides historically with high revenues. The appropriations that were put towards deferred maintenance from 2010 to 2014 reversed the trend and brought our deferred maintenance backlog down from a high of $2.3 billion to a low of $1.6 billion. Without consistent funding levels, our entities cannot effectively execute planned renewal, and that funding uncertainty for them leads to only emergency spending. In our constrained fiscal environment, a statewide approach to deferred maintenance allows to give us the highest attention and priority across multiple agencies.
Sir Brian, is it fair for us to consider that a change in administration may change the output of deferred maintenance numbers and that we should take that into consideration when we're reviewing numbers?
No.
Mr. Brian, I've sat in a finance chair for 10 years. This is my 10th year. And I've seen much higher numbers related to what administrations are categorizing as deferred maintenance. So under the previous administration, I've seen numbers that go up above $2 billion, $3 billion, $4 billion as we've pursued roads to resources or other areas. A comprehensive look at bridges across our state would provide another list of deferred maintenance that could be calculated to show numbers. So I would just say I am skeptical when we say that we're going up in deferred maintenance now based on at least 10 years of reviewing financials on deferred maintenance, and that those numbers can be manipulated with no standardized set of standards that we're looking at. Senator Stevens pointed it out well that the districts, if you want to include assets that are not owned by the state, will show that this body or others in the legislature will see a higher need for deferred maintenance. So I respectfully disagree with you that based on how an administration wants to present to the legislature that that number could go up or down. And so I do agree that we have not invested like we have in the past because we have less resources, and that lack of investment may or will decrease the life expectancy of some of those assets if we don't provide a regular funding for deferred maintenance. But I would just caution committee members that those numbers can go up and down based on how the administration chooses to present numbers.
Slide Slide 11 is a bar chart of our backlog back to 2012, and you can see that trend line is of steady decrease from 12 to 17. In FY18, we have a slight increase of approximately $56 million from FY17 to FY18, mainly attributed to the University of Alaska. I want to talk just briefly about the administration's proposal on deferred maintenance. We have a separate capital appropriation bill from the base capital bill to address deferred maintenance, both in agencies and school districts. It's funded by a 1% wage tax, sunsets 2.5 years. That bill is SB 139. This is a 3-year plan to address our deferred maintenance, to catch up on past underfunding of deferred maintenance, and to stimulate our economy. We're proposing to put $113 million in year one, $106 in year two, and $94 million in year three for statewide deferred maintenance to our agencies, and $40 million in 19 and 2020 for school district major maintenance, followed by $38 million in 2021.
Mr. Bryan, on your school district major maintenance, is that for all schools in Alaska through any type of formula, or is it just a formula coming into the Department of Education or applications coming in?
Madam Chair, we would propose appropriating that money into the major maintenance fund, and then education would utilize their prioritization process and fund down the prioritized list based on the amount of appropriations placed in the major maintenance fund.
Thank you. Senator Bishop? Okay. Please continue.
Slide 13 is an update of our FY18 statewide distribution of deferred maintenance. There was $20 million placed in the Office of the Governor for statewide agency deferred maintenance. We distributed that across 8 agencies and had a prioritization process for life, health, safety, assets at risk of imminent failure, a timely project execution element so we can get to work this fiscal year, and looking at maintenance to space to meet our program mission. Slide 14 is a table of where those appropriations were allocated to. It's in agency order, so administration on top down through Department of Transportation. Also provided to the committee, but not in the slide deck, is the detailed distribution of projects. It's 41 projects across these 8 agencies. There are some common elements in there, such as roof replacements that you'll see in a couple different departments, and sewer and water repairs, for example.
Excuse me.
Senator Bishop.
Excuse me. Did you say sewer water repairs? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
I know we're running very short on time. I just, in your detailed list, since I don't think we're going to get through your whole presentation today, on page 8 of 8, third from the last in this long page, is the Facilities Condition Index, $300,000 budgeted.
What page are you on, Senator Machicki?
Page 8 of 8 of the separate sheet that details the projects, and it talks about that, but it doesn't talk about surplusing unnecessary or buildings that are no longer needed. Madam Chair, I hope we'll consider, if we fund nothing else, perhaps funding this $300,000 that would help them, which should be the first step that we've talked about before we move to all these other projects. Just a little side note, if it helps by funding that study, which I think they should be able to do internally without an appropriation. I just think it's a key first step on this program.
Mr. Bryan, please continue.
Thank you. We're going to transition into the facilities management component of this presentation led by Mark Davis, if there are no further questions on the prior slides.
Thank you, Mr. Bryan. For the committee's edification, the list that was just referred to is the funded list from the administration. 2018, that was what they did with the money that we provided.
Thank you.
I appreciate my staff updating me on that as well. Please continue.
Okay, I'd like to pass it to Mark Davis, please.
Mr. Davis, if you could identify yourself for the record. The bells are ringing, so we only have about 5 more minutes. So if you could be as concise as possible, we do have the slide deck, but want to provide as much insight to the general public as possible.
Madam Chair, Senators, thank you for this opportunity to talk about deferred maintenance from a Division of Facility Services point of view. My name is Mark Davis. I'm with Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and I'm the director for the new Division of Facility Services. So slide 15 is just a recap of this initiative that began in 2015 with an eye towards consolidating maintenance. A number of folks got together to establish governance bodies. The FMAC and the Facility Council did a pretty thorough study, and the result of that is the establishment of this new division to consolidate the facilities maintenance for the state. We've started with our Juneau pilot. We've brought 22 buildings into the division. In the next couple of months, we will be finished with the Juneau pilot with a total of 28 buildings, and then we will get approval for our statewide expansion, which will continue in the springtime. Next slide, please.
Slide 16.
So slide 16, the Division of Facility Services provides an opportunity to standardize the approach for deferred maintenance for facilities. Currently, the departments use different approaches to how they prioritize their deferred maintenance needs. Our intent is to conduct a facilities condition index assessment of state buildings, which will provide a uniform metric to help prioritize the allocation of deferred maintenance funds. So the FCI is a sum of outstanding major maintenance and repair costs divided by the replacement value of the building. This assessment, combined with a computerized maintenance management system, will provide the means to analyze several factors associated with rank ordering the deferred maintenance projects. Next slide, please.
Slide 17.
Slide 17. So this slide shows our high-level strategy for allocating and managing deferred maintenance funds on an annual basis. It begins with the results of the FCI assessment and a current validation of needs in terms of projects. Next, we will apply a methodology of rank ordering those projects. I'll explain that on the next slide. And then track the project completion throughout the year. Next slide, slide 18. So this slide shows our method for an initial ranking of deferred maintenance projects. It incorporates the FCI, which I talked about earlier, components of life safety impact, and then the mission criticality of the function associated with that building. So this process enables us to come up with a recommendation for review by the Facilities Council. There may be overriding considerations which occur outside of this process where a deferred maintenance project rises quickly to the top. For example, a failure of a major building system that has to be repaired as soon as possible. And the next slide, slide 19, please. So our last slide shows the way ahead. We've conducted a deliberate process of transitioning building maintenance in the Juneau area into the Division of Facility Services. This spring, we will start the statewide expansion, keeping our stakeholders and governance bodies informed as we go. And with OMB, we have started a process to assess facility utilization in order to consider options where consolidation might result in a more efficient use of that building space. And then we will continue to stay focused on our main goal, which is to achieve greater efficiency through a common approach to maintaining our state's facilities. So pending questions, that was my presentation.
Mr. Davis, thank you for presenting to us today. We do not have time for questions. It's 5 till and the bells are ringing, but I would ask that Senator Bishop, Senator von Imhoff, and Senator Machicki follow up with you on slides 18 and other comments that were made today. There's questions from all three senators, and we would like a little bit more understanding on assessing conditions and needs, possibly in regards to placing assets in different categories for retention or deployment into the private sector. Mr. Bryan, quickly, I need to be able to deploy senators to the floor where folks are waiting to do the state's business.
Very good, Madam Chair. Final slide 20. We have a plan to address our growing deferred maintenance needs over a three-year period. We have a plan to have objective system-wide criteria for that through the facilities maintenance initiative, and we need to maintain constant attention to our preventative maintenance schedules.
Thank you. And just on behalf of the committee, I'd like to thank you for the work of the entire team and your presentation here today. Please understand that my comments, comments here are totally in support of what the department is doing to address deferred maintenance, and specifically Senator Bishop, Senator Machicki, Senator von Imhoff, Senator Olson, and Senator Stevens, to my knowledge, all support deferred maintenance and extending the life on the assets that we've invested in. On Monday's agenda, we will have the FY19 budget overview from the Department of Transportation before us. With that, is there anything further to come before the committee? If not, please, if we could head straight to the floor so that we don't hold up the floor session, we're adjourned.